Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk about do not forget the Lord. Do not forget the Lord. You know, that's pretty easy to do sometimes. But in today's parasha, today's Torah portion, it's known as Ekev. And you can see it on your bulletin. That word Ekev means as a result. And we'll be going more into this during the study later at 2:30. But in today's parasha, or Ekev, we read these words from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And if you have your scriptures with you, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's an easy book to find. The last book of the Torah. Everyone repeat with me. Genesis. Exodus. Leviticus. Numbers. Deuteronomy. So you shouldn't have any trouble finding it. And Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 10, we read the following. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise Adonai your God for the good land that he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Failing to observe his mitzvot, his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine homes and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks, they grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and the dreadful desert, that thirsty and that waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something that your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced all this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. You know, these words are ever so true today as they ever were back then. You know, when we're going through very difficult and trying times, during those times we pray, we seek the Lord, we cry before him, we get on our knees, we apologize, we repent of our sin and all these things when things are rough. But then, when things are good and we've accumulated things, maybe wealth, maybe some of us here, maybe we have means. Maybe we've gotten cars and we have good jobs and 401ks and things are looking bright for the future. We have that tendency to begin to leave the Lord out of our lives, little by little, until we totally forget the Lord our God. Sometimes the Lord needs to throw a little adversity in there, a little thorn in the flesh here and there to awaken us, to get us to remember that it's, as it said here, that it's not by our power and the strength of our hands that all these things have come about or been produced. God has done all these things. You know, the book of Deuteronomy, It begins with Moshe and the children of Israel in the territory of Moab, in the area where the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea. And by this time, Moses is an old man. He's no longer that young man who left Egypt 80 years ago. He had gone through 40 years as a shepherd. He's now been 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai. He's now 120 years old. He's seen it all. He's seen it from the palace of Pharaoh to the shepherding of sheep to leading a multitude of people, more than 2 million people, through a wilderness for 40 years. And now he's gotten to this point. And they're right near the Jordan River. The people are getting ready to enter into the land of promise. God had promised them all these beautiful things in the land. But there was that concern. Once you cross over and you see all the goodness, after there's been peace, and you defeated your enemies, and you build your fine houses and your chariots. Or nowadays, we've built our nice houses in the suburban areas, and we have our cars and our second cars and maybe our boat and maybe a motorcycle. And we have all the electronic toys and gadgets and gizmos and all these things. Our heart grows cold. And we tend to leave the Lord out of our lives. These are the last few days, the last few months of the life of Moses. And he's revolving, or he's going back and he's teaching the Israelites and training them and telling them about all the things that have happened during these last 40 years. And he's about to transfer his leadership over to Joshua. It's not going to be Moses that enters into that land. Moses disobeyed God. It's going to be Joshua who leads this multitude of people into the land of promise. And he's delivering a farewell message to the children of Israel in this book of Deuteronomy. He's preparing them for entrance into the promised land. And this book, Deuteronomy, comes from the very heart of Moses. And it's a very warm and it's a very personal expression to him. And in this scripture that we just read from Deuteronomy 8, Moshe is speaking to the children of Israel as a loving father, speaking to his children, encouraging his children. He's telling his children, remember this. These are my babes. These are my children. He raised them all up. All the ones he has here are all pretty much new. All the generation that left Egypt died in the desert. He saw the birth of millions of babies in the wilderness. He was like a father to the multitude, to these millions of people. He saw the good, the bad, the ugly, and all the struggles they went through. And he's speaking to them like a daddy, like a father. And he's telling them, when things go well with you in this promised land, don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget God. Don't leave him out of your life. Don't forget to praise him for all that he's done for you. Don't forget his commands and all of his laws. And all the decrees that he has established for you, for your own well-being. Don't allow your hearts to grow proud. Don't think that all this that's taking place, all these victories you're going to have in the promised land, all the goodness that you're going to see, the luscious fruit, the herds, all these things that I've given to you. Don't think that it's you that's doing it, because it was God. God who is doing these things. It's God who blesses us. It's God who shows us his compassion and mercy. Don't forget it's the Lord your God who has strengthened you to cross this river into the land that he's given you. You know, this is very similar to the words of Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, when he spoke to Timothy and he called Timothy my son. He had that relationship. And you know, we need more of that in our congregation. We need more fathers and mothers teaching the younger ones. We need that. We need spiritual fathers. We need spiritual mothers. But most of us are not willing to do that. Most of us are not willing to... the word I'm looking for, willing to allow ourselves to mentor or speak into somebody's life. We don't want to take the time. We don't want to, you know, it's a bother to us to do that. But we need more fathers and mothers here. So we read in 2 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, my dear son. Again, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, goes on and he gives a charge to Timothy, just as Moses gave a charge to the children of Israel. And he says to Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth. And he tells him, pursue righteousness, Timothy. Listen to me, Timothy, I love you. I've seen you come to the Lord. You've been raised up. God has put you in leadership now. Flee those evil desires you had when you were a child. Pursue righteousness, faith, hope, peace. And it goes on to say, out of a pure heart. Then he says to preach the word. Be prepared in season. Be prepared out of season. Correct and rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. We also recall the words of Apostle Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith. You shared some of that just now. You mentioned something like that. And we have to fight that good fight of faith. God has given us the ability. God has given us the strength. It is a fight. It is a struggle. The devil hates your guts. He wants to see you fail. He wants to see you dead in your sins. He wants to see you so corrupted in sin that you're so ashamed that you fear coming back and you don't even want to try. But we have to fight that good fight. And to quote my lovely wife over here, we need to tell Satan to get the hell out of here. He shouldn't be in here, and he shouldn't be in your life. Fight that good fight of faith. Thank you, Lord. And Moses was telling the children of Israel, as he was preparing to die, he was telling them also, as you're entering the land, you need to fight that good fight of faith. In other words, stay faithful to the Lord. Don't forget Him when you enter the land. And both Moses and Rav Shaul were following the words and the advice of the writer from Proverbs 22:6, where it says that we are to train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. That's not just speaking of our little children, our own flesh and our blood, but those who are around us. That's why we need mentors. We need men, spiritual fathers. We need women, spiritual mothers, to mentor and to train the younger believers, the newer believers, those who are coming in, and help them to fight the good fight of faith. They need help. And we need to be there to help them. It shouldn't be a bother for you to want to help someone else, to encourage someone else, to bless someone else. It shouldn't even be a bother for you if somebody has a physical need. Somebody needs food for their house, or they need help with bills, or they have no clothes to wear. It should not be a bother for us to help them. What did God call you to? He called you to be Messiah-like. If you want to see what compassion is, look at the life of Yeshua. That's what compassion is. He saw the multitudes and he fed them. He saw the sick and he healed them. He saw the demon possessed and he set them free. He gave us the examples, and we need mentors. We need mothers, fathers. We need spiritual people. Spiritual mamas and papas. That's what we need. Thank you, Lord. Many of us are like the children of Israel. When things are going really nice and well, when we're in our nice homes and our bellies are all full and everything seems just wonderful, we tend to forget the Lord our God. You know, you might be thinking, oh, I know he's not talking about me. He's got to be talking about that person next to me. No, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Don't forget the Lord your God. Amen. Even in the little things, in the thoughts, the things you do, the things you say. You know, we see our accomplishments. And a lot of times we think, boy, I worked hard for these things. I worked hard. I struggled. I sacrificed. I. No. It's him. I can say for myself, yeah, you know, I did struggle. As a child, there was a lot of family issues. My family, divorced parents when I was very young, several suicides and murders in my family. I mean, there's lots of things, lots of struggles. But I tell you what, I would not have made it without the Lord. I would have never graduated from college. I would have been, I don't know, empty, void, nothing. God took a hold of my life. It's got to be him. Thank you, Lord. It's important that we don't fall into pride and arrogance, thinking it's what we're doing. The children of Israel suffered for 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai, because they failed to humble themselves before the Lord. At every instance where they could have and should have demonstrated faith and trust in Him, they failed the test. They forgot the Lord their God. Yet, nevertheless, in the midst of all of that, the Lord continued in His mercy and provided water from the rock and manna from heaven. And the same goes for us here today. We blow it all the time. We test the Lord all the time. We fail the test. We're in the same place. We are. You have to acknowledge. You can't. That's pride. That's arrogance. Acknowledge who and what you are so that you can get right with God. Many of us are only continuing by the mercies of God. Getting by the skin of our teeth. By the way, that's in the book of Job. We're hanging by that thin strand of God's grace. We're wandering in a wilderness of confusion with no hope of ever entering into the promises of God. depression, despair, hopelessness, apathy, doubt, lack of vision strangle us because we've forgotten the Lord, our God. How often do you pray? How often do I pray? How often do we pray? How often do we read the scriptures? How often do we meditate on God's goodness and His mercies? We can feel the Lord's eyes upon us like little children who know they have sinned and feel their parents' eyes staring at them in sadness and disapproval. But as children pretend as though they've done nothing wrong, we do the same thing, ignoring the stare of God's eyes upon us. But believe me, God's looking at you. God is looking at me. Why have we grown cold in our relationship to God? I believe there's two reasons why we get cold toward God. There's two reasons. You might write them down, remember them. The first reason is because we feel deserted or abandoned by God, as the children of Israel did in the desert. And because we feel deserted and abandoned, we allow bitterness to defile our lives. And then once that bitterness gets in our life, destruction is imminent. God has not abandoned you. God has not deserted you. Never. If anything, we have turned our backs toward God. We read in Numbers chapter 21, starting at verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4 says, that they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way, and they spoke against God. And they spoke against Moses and said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this desert? There's no bread. There's no water here. And we detest this miserable food. You know what food he's talking about? Manna. Detesting the bread of heaven. The bread of life. Yeshua is our bread of life. It's like you're saying you detest the Lord and His goodness. I detest this gift from heaven, O God. So, the Lord God, He sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many of them died. Wow. Need to be very careful, don't we? The Lord had not abandoned them. It was quite the opposite. He delivered them from Egypt. He covered them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He gave them water from the rock, that wonderful manna from heaven. And look, He caused quail to fall from the sky. Sky and just cover the whole ground. You didn't have to even try to catch them. They just fell out of the sky into your arms. Quail eggs, quail stew, quail soup, fried quail, sauteed quail, every kind. God met every need. Yes. The key word here was impatient. They failed to trust the faithfulness of God and to wait upon the Lord. Their bitterness brought pain because they forgot the Lord. God has not abandoned you. God has not deserted you. Secondly, second reason we grow cold is that we no longer feel we have a need for God. First, we felt abandoned and deserted. And we allow bitterness. Now, another reason why we turn from God is we grow cold. We no longer feel we have a need for God. Everything seems fine in our lives now. We have a nice place to live. We have food to eat. We have cars. We have clothes, money and savings, and apparent peace. We feel we have finally made it. We've climbed the ladder. We got to that place. We're successful. We've succeeded. We're prospered because of our own wits, because of our own power, our own strength, and our own abilities. We feel self-sufficient now and reliant. And this was the problem with the children of Israel after they entered the promised land. And it's described wonderfully in Nehemiah chapter 9. Turn with me to Nehemiah. Let me see how good you guys are, if you can even find the book of Nehemiah. Come on. Nehemiah chapter 9. If you find Ezra, you're close. Nehemiah chapter 9, starting in verse 16. And it says, "But they were disobedient." And this is regarding and speaking about the children of Israel. "But they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They put your Torah behind their backs. They killed your prophets who had admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies." Verse 27, "So you handed them over to their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. And from heaven you heard them. In your great compassion you gave them deliverers," or judges, "who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest again they did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them again to the hand of their enemies, so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven. And in your compassion, you delivered them time after time. You warned them to return to your Torah, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, by which a man will live if he obeys them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years you were patient with them. By your spirit you admonished them through your prophets, yet they paid no attention. So you handed them over to the neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and a merciful God." Boy, you know, that sounds a lot like even our own personal lives. We turn from God and we blow it, and God takes us back, and we cry out, God takes us back. Then we sin again and God allows things to happen, and then we cry and God takes us back, and we forget Him again and we blow it and cry out to God, and God continually. But you know, there's a point when God says enough is enough. Do we need to get to that point? What God says enough is enough? God forbid. You know, we can refute that first reason for getting cold toward God, that God has abandoned us or deserted us, because of the scripture we just read from Nehemiah. What an example of God continually reaching out and bringing His people back. In it, we saw how the Lord continued to have compassion on Israel, never deserted or abandoned them. This was true for the 40 years in the wilderness wandering and throughout the biblically recorded history of the nation of Israel. Likewise, as the Lord promised Joshua in Joshua 1:5, He promises to us today. Joshua 1:5. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." But you know, Yeshua also said those same words in Matthew 28:20. Remember, Yeshua said, And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Yeshua's promised to be with us. He's promised to be with you. And He also promised that when He left, that He would send the Comforter, the Ruach, the Spirit of God. He would send the Spirit to infill us and to indwell us, to change us and to transform us. And we see that took place initially on that day of Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, when the believers were in that upper room and the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing winds, and it seemed and appeared as though tongues of fire landed upon each one of them, and they began to speak in other tongues, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went forth from there and preached the word of God, and the world was turned upside down. The whole Roman world, the whole known world was turned upside down for the kingdom of God, and the good news spread throughout all the nations, all the world. The second reason for getting cold toward God can also be refuted in the fact that we really do need the Lord our God. We can never say that we don't need Him. Otherwise, we fall into pride and we fall into arrogance and self-reliance and we lose our real meaning for living. God created us because He desires fellowship and relationship with us. That's why God created us. He desires relationship. He wants to have fellowship with you. Remember in Genesis, that after He created man, it said that God walked in the garden with man. He was with them. They walked. I can imagine God just on a daily basis just walking with Adam and talking to him and showing him all the different animals He created and look at the sun and the moon and the stars, Adam, and look at these trees and all these things. But one thing, don't eat of that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch it. I think God has been merciful to us. God's commands are not burdensome. They're not. They're for our own well-being. When God, through Moses, gave all the commandments in the book of Leviticus to the people, it was to, for their own good, for their own well-being, to help them, to show them right from wrong. But our sin breaks that flow of fellowship with God, as it did with Adam in the garden. Flow of fellowship was gone. Pride caused Satan to sin, Adam and Eve to fall, and will cause all of us to fall as well. Only in relationship to God through Yeshua can we be preserved. So just as we end this word for today, do not forget the Lord. Please, don't forget the Lord. Don't call upon Him just in a time of need, when things are going bad. But remember Him when everything seems well or appears well. Otherwise, the Lord will put you in a position where you are forced to call upon Him for your very life. And you don't want to be in a position like that. Choose Him. Choose Him. Choose to serve Him today. Choose to serve Him tomorrow. Choose to serve Him every day. And as you do, heaven and earth are witnesses. They're witnesses. So let us follow the words of Joshua. And let this be our words. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Make sure that your home is a home that serves the Lord. And again, we need spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. We need mentors that will help the younger believers and the weaker believers to make it into the promised land. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, your word is a light to our path and a lamp unto our feet, O God. And we love your word, Lord. We love you so much, O God. Help us to be faithful. Help us, O God, to remember you and not to forget you. I just pray, Lord, that your word would permeate the very depths of every heart here today, and that we would truly receive this message, not with condemnation, but with joy. Let it be a joyful thing to serve the Lord.